Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call on Thursday, the 22nd of September, 2022. What a day yesterday. We had Russia doing a partial mobilization of its forces or reservists to, basically increase the stakes in its war in Ukraine. And the response has been felt in commodity markets, but also politically across the globe. But we'll come back to the commodity angle in a few seconds. We, of course, the big event yesterday was the FOMC meeting. We got the 75 basis point rate hike, policy rate hike from the FOMC. That was also the expectations that was priced in the market and also by economists. They did a hawkish tilt both through the press conference, the answers to the different questions from Powell, the Fed Chair Powell, but also through the dot plot, and we have that, and we'll show it in a few seconds. But if we start on slide two, so the market was thinking back and forth how to interpret the FOMC event, but then eventually decided, okay, this is bad for equities, and it's bad for equities because Powell had a comment where he said, this is basically the lower end of the range of minimum tightness that we can deliver to get inflation under control. In other words, this is the minimum where we are right now, and we will get higher from the current levels. And that, of course, is negative for equities because as the U.S. 10-year and the U.S. 2-year yield, the 2-year yield is at 4.12% this morning. As that continues to go higher, obviously you need to see earnings multiples, the PE ratio, to go down. That acts as a headwind on equities, and you can see as well in slide two, a lot of the theme baskets were down quite considerably yesterday. So, but Ole, if we, I think this slide three, it's courtesy of our Asia team. They did a presentation for our Asian clients earlier today, and we have courtesy of those been taking one of their slides. But so I think it's a pretty good slide, Ole, don't you think?
Yes, indeed, because it just gives us the overview, and there's no doubt that this outcome was a hawkish outcome, because it also what it basically shows is that they are revising down higher unemployment. They're also revising lower growth, basically saying that they are prepared to risk recession in order to get the inflation under control, and they're also revising higher inflation forecasts for 2003. The terminal rate has been moved now to end where the expectations for terminal rate above 4.5%. So, and also the question, are we going to see any rate cuts in 2023? I think given what we have right now, that the answer to that is a resounding no. And moving on to slide four, and that's what you mentioned about the Fed fund projection, Peter. We can see some of the changes that has come. What I think stakes out is really their firm belief that or expectation that inflation will be down 2.6% in no, sorry, 2.8% in 2023. It's only a small up revision. So the market is holds on to that belief as well, and that's why we are seeing real yields move higher, in future inflation expectations coming down because of this hawkishness. But as you mentioned, Peter, the Fed fund rate, the June projection was looking at 3.8 in 2023. It was bumped up by 0.8 to 4.6.
Yeah, I actually want to take your comment on the projections, because we had an internal discussion, and I've also been saying for, I think, over a year, I think 1.5 years, that and Powell admitted it back in November last year, that they basically have gone away from believing in the models. He basically said that, and I think if you look at the projections and you hold that up against where the Fed funds rate and the dot plots, which is the opinion expressed by all the voting members in the market committee, it tells a very different story. It tells that the FOMC members, they don't really believe the projections, and that's also, I think, if you look at the projections here for PC inflation, if you look also how the market is pricing, think about it. We don't really understand the true dynamics of inflation, and we have very difficulties modeling it. So we model it with very simplistic models, and they always mean revert over time back to their long-term trend. And that's exactly what this is expressing, right? But that means that if there's a missing part or some dynamics that we don't capture in these simplistic models, then you can get awfully wrong. And that is what the Fed has been. It has been awfully wrong for quite some time. And that's why I think they are trying to go back to manage the Fed funds rate much more like, you can say like a trader and less like an economist. It's much more from first principles and intuition. So, and I think Ole, if we move forward, because we have a lot of slides today, slide five. I think the hawkish Fed outlook, etc., can be expressed in the chart you have put in here on slide five. So, especially on the chart to the left, it really tells you how much the market has moved in just in 1 month.
Yeah, it's the Fed funds futures for going forward, and you can see the we've seen a nearly well a 0.8% shift higher during the past month, and the peak was ahead of yesterday's meeting. The peak was priced around March. Now that peak has been priced further out, and right now we're looking at April. And it's really that's what we need to keep an eye on, and part of that what will change move that curve up and down is obviously the economic outlook in the weeks and months ahead. So I think we can our boss use the baseball innings terminology in this saying that we're probably in the seventh or close to the eighth innings out of nine, and basically we are approaching peak hawkishness at this point in time because the economic fallout potentially is one that could start to attract some attention, but we're not there yet, and further increases are obviously in the cards for the remaining two meetings this year.
Yeah, and I think also if I may, the 5 year forward inflation swap is right now trading below 3% to around 2.75-ish%, and I think it I mean, to put that in perspective, so that's basically market bets, real money going through swap contracts, betting on inflation. In some of our recent presentations, we have been more saying, we're looking into a structural decade where, so you can argue that the current inflationary regime is telling you that something structural is wrong with the world, right? So especially on the supply side, so that needs to be dealt with, and that it takes longer, we think, than what the market is currently pricing in. And if you look at the how long it actually took to get inflation under control in previous times, and if you think about, to the extent that deglobalization and what we're seeing in the world will prolong a lot of the adjustments, then we have said, I mean, it's not unrealistic to think that you could have a 10-year period with 4% annualized inflation, and we are, 1.5 year into this inflationary period. So in that regard, you can see how we are definitely way different than consensus. I had a point in our internal call that I want to put out here in the podcast as well. I think one of the things that have been really, really distorted in the recent bull market is the perception of time. You can just really sense that a lot of our also Saxo clients, they are eager to get equities back. We need to get to back to new highs. When will things be better? You can sense this frustration because, we had very shallow drawdowns and quick rebounds in the past 10, 12 years. And if you look back, and we should always be careful using analogies, and because history doesn't repeat itself one to one. But if you look at the inflationary period of the 70s, you had a, that's on slide six, by the way. I've taken here the MSCI US Total Return Index, and I have normalized it with the US Inflation Index. And you can see we had a 13-year period with equities delivering less than what inflation was up, right? I'm not saying we'll get 13 years drawdown again versus inflation. I think we have better tools, better understanding to deal with what we are looking at, what we're facing today. But I think thinking that we can be back in equities to a new all-time high against inflation within the next year is probably too optimistic and naive at best. So it's really about changing your mindset that this is a long game. It's we are facing a longer term adjustment here in the economy. And a key thing as well, you can have the overall equity market being bad, but there will always be pockets where you can get get returns in equity. So, and that's where what we will try to help our clients with in our notes, but also our presentations. And then maybe a final point before we move on, all this as well, is that, given what the Fed said yesterday, It's pretty clear that interest rates will go up. Interest rates going higher will mean the PE ratios will go down, so headwinds for equities. If you have a lot of exposure to high PE ratios, that those are naturally the most sensitive ones to these high interest rates. Be aware of that. Ole, comments on slide 7, the currency market before we move to the commodities. So you have euro dollar in and you have the dollar yen because Bank of Japan, they're standing very firm on their policy ceiling here. So please take us through what happened in the currency market.
Yeah, well, especially dollar yen, Peter, because well, since I put this the chart on the, in the into the slide deck, which shows the price close to 145, we've been all the way up to 146, and now within the last few minutes, we dumped all the way back down to 144. Could indicate that there is some quiet checking of prices going on, because that is quite a significant turnaround we've seen in dollar yen. Same thing, and say we also seeing the euro dollar moving back up towards 99 after almost touching 98 in early trading. But you're right, Kuroda basically reaffirmed their commitments to keep rates lower for the next 2 to 3 years. But at the same time, how on earth they're going to manage that without completely smashing the yen? That obviously is the big question. So we just wait. We haven't got any further news on that move, but it does obviously indicate there is a line in the sand somewhere that has been broken, and some action has been taken to hold some of this yen weakness. So a day ahead in the FX market, which could be turn out to be quite interesting as well. It is providing a little bit of risk on back to the markets in general, and it just highlights the significant importance of the dollar right now. Dollar strength is just a growth killer and a risk off move. So any change in the sentiment has to come from, first of all, the dollar starting to plateau, stop rising, and then secondly, the yield market also starts to indicate that we're close to the peak. The yield market is probably not there yet. The dollar is obviously the big question here right now. But big moves already so far, especially in dollar yen.
All right, it's getting it's becoming a long podcast already, Ole. But give us your thoughts on commodities, especially gold. I think is interesting given the signals we got from the FOMC. But you also need to give us an update on the energy market, of course.
Yeah, gold yesterday was just like many other markets, was a battle between Putin and Powell. Putin helped support the market while the dollar was rallying strongly and yields were moving up. And today we're seeing a similar picture. We're still staying above the recent lows, 1654. Does indicate that there are some underlying drivers in the market that we need to be aware of. Overall, however, as we mentioned, gold is likely to be strong until we find this peak hawkishness in the market. I believe we're not too far away from it. We got the yield curve converging quite aggressively, pricing in recession, and we got the interest rate market basically pricing out any chance of a rate cut next year. So these are all knowns. So obviously this is this. So let's stop the clock here and start a new round. And this is and gold will obviously respond to how these markets move going forward from here, because obviously a lot of hawkishness has been priced into the market already. And just on the oil market, we're going nowhere again. Putin basically mean that Powell is bringing down global growth by hiking rates, which will be replicated by other central banks. But at the same time, we have Putin's aggressiveness in Ukraine, which will strengthen the Europe's resolve, I would say, especially with the embargo that will take barrels out of the market over the coming months, and that will continue to underpin the market. But potentially some weakness based on the economic clouds. But as I said, a lot of that is already in the market. It is priced in, and we're having a slowdown. And so far, the price is actually holding around 90. So still believe that the longer term trend for oil prices, if anything, is either stable to higher prices. Peter.
Yeah. All right. Great insights. Quickly stocks to watch today. I think one of the retail story we're all talking about in the cost of living crisis in Europe is just confirmed again today by JD Sports. Profit margins are under squeeze. The consumers is being squeezed, and they say that there are downside risks to their outlook, down 4% today. Then there are the in the more stable food segment. So Lerøy Seafood is a Norwegian salmon producer, and General Mills, which is very much about cereal and the breakfast meal in the US. They have other brands as well, of course, but that's a part of the business. Both of those two companies are able to actually, for the most part, actually been raising prices. Lerøy has experienced some profit margin squeeze, where General Mills is actually able to pass on most of that and preserve their margins. Lennar was down 2% yesterday. We talked a lot about it's the U.S. home builder, one of the largest U.S. home builders, and their order intake is beginning to disappoint again estimates. So the market didn't like that. If you look at earnings today, we have Costco and Darden Restaurants reporting today. Costco, a phenomenal company, very strong market position in the U.S. even in this inflationary environment. And as you can see in the small fundamentals insert there on slide nine, they're doing quite well and expected to grow revenue by almost 15% for the quarter that ended in August. And then growth is expected to decline to 8%, which is pretty still decent, I would say, for the quarter that expected to end in November. So watch Costco, phenomenal company. If you look at the calendar headline, we have already had the Switzerland SNB meeting. They hiked the policy rate by 75 basis points. We have also had the Norwegian decision. Do you know what happened?
Yes, they lifted rates by 50 basis points to 2.25, and obviously the Swiss one is quite significant. It basically ends the era of negative interest rates in Europe.
Yeah. So other so and the ECB is expected to also increase interest rates quite dramatic towards June next year. We have the Turkey rate decision at 11, together with Bank of England at 11 GMT. We also have South Africa rate decisions later today, and then we have the EIA's weekly natural gas storage change. I don't know whether you have will say anything to that, or will
Not at this time, no.
no. Okay, I think that concludes the today's podcast, and we'll be back same time and place tomorrow. And stay careful out there. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call, or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.